D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with all of you on Wednesday. Derek, David, and I are back in Nashville. Willie Donick, he's in Dallas, where the Predators will take on the Stars tomorrow. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6. Since Willie Donick is in Big D, can I call him Willie Big D Donick today?
Pause, man. Pause.
Hey, if the shoe fits. If the shoe fits.
Pause. This is a kid's show.
Big D.
Okay. Once again. Once again,
this is a
people.
Kid show.
Once Big again, D people. Is a common.
Once again, people.
Is a common name for the city of Dallas. Willie is a Donick. Last name starts with a D. Willie Big D Donick. Works for me.
Again. The views of Adam is not the views of the show.
We did not run a disclaimer before the program.
Exactly. They are solely his and his alone.
Maybe Willie too.
I'll leave it to Willie. I'll leave it to Willie to decide if he wants to be known as Big D Donick today.
You know, they always say you don't really nickname yourself.
Yeah.
That's not one I would nickname myself, but you know.
You got a nickname.
It's Willie D. It's Willie D.
No, your nickname is Will. There it is.
Speaking of big, the Denison Big Red, Willie was not with us yesterday because he had the opportunity to watch his son Mahoney play for the Denison Big Red baseball team. How was it, Willie? How did it go?
Well, I had a great time. It was a beautiful day for an April 1st day in Granville, Ohio. They don't always get great weather at the very beginning of April. It gets really nice as you get a few more weeks in, but it's about 50, 52 degrees, sunny, no wind. So it was very pleasant. I saw them win the first half of the doubleheader. They unfortunately lost the second game of the doubleheader to Wabash College. But it happens. But I saw them get a W, and I got to see Mahoney, and he did not get into the game. So our vibes to try to, you know, will them to put him into the game. It didn't happen. Their ace pitcher pitched a tremendous ball game, and their closer came in and got the job done. But it was great to watch him and see him and see where he goes to school and all that stuff. I've been up there a few times, and, you know, when the Predators season's over, I'll probably watch them as they get close to postseason play. They've done very well. They're 17-4. They're ranked in the top, whatever ranking system you look at, they're in the top 10. So they've got a chance to do some great things in the postseason.
You know who doesn't have a great chance of doing great things in the postseason? The Nashville Predators, because they've been eliminated.
I mean, do you have to stick it to me like that?
I know. You got to pull the Band-Aid off.
It was a good segue you sent me up
you
there.
You lobbed it up, man.
Yeah, you lobbed it up. I slammed it home. So an unintentional alley-oop from Willie Donick. But the Predators have zero chance of doing great things in the postseason because they've been eliminated from postseason contention. That happened last week. But the Predators lost both games of their back-to-back Monday and Tuesday. Monday in Philadelphia and last night in Columbus by the final score of 8-4. Yes, 8-4. Even the wonderful animated game in the hockeyverse called by Max Herz and Chris Mason, even that wonderful program could not paint a rosy picture of what's going on with these Nashville Predators. And as the season nears its end, the Nashville Predators have just 7 games remaining in the regular season before the season ends. I'm just going to come out and say it, and I want to hear what everybody else has to say. Willie and Derek, as well as all of you at 615-737-1025. I just can't find a way that the Predators can justify bringing back Andrew Brunette. And I know that there are things working against him right now. The Predators lineup currently could, what's the word I'm looking for? Could generously be described as a preseason caliber lineup. There are players playing for the Predators right now who may or may not, you know, need to be in the NHL. They are by necessity, but there's only so much I understand that you can do with a lineup that looks the way the Predators lineup looks right now. But as I shared with the both of you before the show, the Predators, who, by the way, have lost 9 of 11, they are 2-8-1 in their past 11 games. So they are doing one thing well. They are losing and putting themselves in position to have, you know, good odds of drafting number one overall. They have a 4.13 points percentage this season. That would be the second worst in franchise history behind the inaugural team in 1998-1999. And as Willie, you said to us before the show, based on preseason expectations, this is by far the most disappointing season in Predators history. And I know that there are a lot of excellent salespeople who work for the Nashville Predators. It would take a Herculean effort to sell these fans on bringing back this coach after the way this season has gone. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk about what Pierre LeBrun said last week. We'll discuss what we talked about with Elliot Freeman last week. But I'll just start there. I cannot find a way that the Predators can justifiably bring back Andrew Brunette.
Well, you guys know me. I think that's a very easy take from a 10,000, 30,000 foot view. And just like when Pierre LeBrun put out last week that he says that Barry Trotz would have fired Andrew Brunette if he was going to already. And so that means he'll be back next year. I don't think it's clear cut that way either. So I don't think it's clear cut is what I would tell you. I think there's going to be a lot of evaluation that's done after this is all over. It is really hard right now, especially after they lost two veterans in Colton Sissons and Jonathan Marchessault. So this road trip going in on back-to-backs with a depleted roster where they only have the minimum amount of skaters. They have no options right now because they've used the call-ups like most of the teams have done. The Flyers are in the same position. For example, I was just asking them, they don't have the flexibility in their roster to call players up because of the rules. They would have to have an emergency. So as long as they have enough healthy players, they have to use those players. So it's hard to win right now. I would not be evaluating Andrew Brunette for anything that happens from here to the end of the season. I would say up until last night. And last night, that was a tough one because Columbus was absolutely desperate. They were rested. Nashville got in late at night after playing the Flyers. They had the depleted roster. They just ran out of gas. And I will say this, that was not a good game for UC Saros. I know he was hung out to dry to an extent, but he should have made he needed to make a few more saves, and maybe they could have hung around a little bit longer. Up until that game, they have been very competitive. The effort has been good. They have not had too many games where they've checked out. And let's be honest, they've been out of the playoff race for a couple of months now. They knew they weren't going to make the playoffs when they went into the Four Nations break. So just keeping them playing hard in some semblance has been, I think, a minor victory for Andrew Brunette. They haven't completely checked out on him. There's going to be some eggs laid. Maybe there'll be another one tomorrow night. I don't know. But I would bet you in the last eight games or so, there's going to be a couple of games that look like last night where they just don't have it because of the limitations on their roster. But all that having been said, I was listening to Barry's interview yesterday with Jared Stillman. There's so much that they have to sort out. And I understand your point, Adam, that just from a – you do have to sort of consider what are the fans going to see if you bring back the coach. But that's where Barry Trotz has to make the nuanced decision and decide, is Andrew Brunette the right guy for this group next year, the way they want to play? What's the best way to play with the players that they have? And right now we don't know who the players are going to be. You have a semblance of it, but, you know, what about free agency trades and all that stuff? And who do they pick? Because I think they have a very good chance to get a top three pick in the draft.
I would agree with you on the idea that this Predators team has not quit on its coach. Now, I am not in the dressing room every day, but I'll always go back to going into the dressing room at the Cotton Bowl at the end of the Winter Classic on New Year's Day 2020. They lose that game to the Stars. You walk in the dressing room at the Cotton Bowl. I remember talking to Pecorine and Roman Josi and Austin Watson and Matthias Ekholm. And I remember walking out of that room and knowing in my gut, because I was around that team all the time, that Peter Laviolette's days were numbered. I didn't know when he was going to be fired. I didn't know he was going to be fired 5 days later. But I got that vibe. You just have a vibe. And by watching this team from afar, I do not see a team that has given up. To your point, Willie, the roster currently is depleted. And players who probably should not be playing in the NHL right now are playing in the NHL right now. As I said, this lineup can generously be described as a preseason lineup. And even then, I've seen preseason lineups that look more formidable than what this Predators team is putting out on the ice right now. I think you have to look at it big picture. And Willie and I, we like to lift up the hood. We like to dig into the fancy stats. We like to look at the process. And if you were to do that, I think you could see some areas where they have improved over the course of the season. But for general Predators fans, you look at this season, the fact that they made the playoffs last season, the fact that they spent a ton of money in free agency to bring in three of the top free agents on the market, and this team is about to miss the playoffs for the – well, they are going to miss the playoffs. They are missing the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. So I understand the nuance, Willie, that Barry Trotz has to look at it from a nuanced perspective. But if he does land on the decision to bring back Andrew Burnett, I am going to be fascinated by how this team attempts to sell that to these fans who expected so much more, Derek, of this team.
Yeah, and rightfully so. When you make the moves that you've made in the offseason, you expect a team that's going to be competing at least for a playoff spot. And this team started off on the wrong foot. And in the process, the head coach is trying to figure it out. And it just didn't get to a point where they consistently figured out what was going on. And then in that process, guys started getting hurt. I see this as being it, and I've said this for a while, it's just eerily, just like coincidental, that both of these franchises tend to go through the same stuff at the same time. It is, I haven't seen this in any other city that I lived in. Like, you got a head coach on one side that potentially, they could have fired him this year after the season in Brian Callahan because they got a new GM. But they haven't. But he goes into next season thinking, man, I could potentially get fired in the middle of the season next year. So what do I need to do to make sure that doesn't happen? The GM has already made his decision on who his coach is going to be. It's Brian Callahan for now. But they also said we need some improvement. We need to see some improvement, development, everything else. Then you look at the Nashville Predators. Coach Bruno's going through the same thing. Slightly different in the sense of they essentially went for it essentially last year. And you can't tell me they didn't. Because if you go out and get the firepower you went out and got, that means you are going for more than just a playoff spot. When I said this team needs to be a top 10 team in power play, I meant that. Why? Because of the people they went out and got. Anything less than that is a failure for that season. And that is it, more than like that's what is going to eventually happen. It just amazes me how both teams, somewhere or another, their paths cross or their paths, they tend to go on this same path but in different sports where, you know, you're questioning the head coach, you're questioning management right now, you're questioning the players that they brought in, and you're doing that over in Metro Center. You're questioning all those things with the Titans. So I think this is going – this offseason, again, for the Nashville Predators, it's going to be an offseason that is – they need to get it right. I think they need to get it right. More importantly, first, the head coach. Because if he don't get it right, I think there will be a decision made in the middle of the season somewhere. And then that, the GM. Because as transparent as he can possibly be, he's been that. He's been up front. That buys you a little time. I think that time is starting to run out. The shine is starting to come off of it. So this offseason, they should try to get as close to number one as they possibly can if they can't get number one. Because whoever they get, it may not change this upcoming season. It may not change things for them, but it gives the fan base hope.
Yeah, the good news along that front, that last point, D-Mace,
mm-hmm.
with some of the action that's happened the last week, Buffalo's won a few games here. The Flyers, who had been slipping, have won three in a row since they fired John Tortorella, including a win over the Predators. The Predators, I wouldn't say are locked in, but they're pretty close to being locked in at 30th overall. And that does give them some pretty good odds. I think it's 11.5% chance to get the number one pick, and they could not fall further than 5. And of course, there's probably the majority chance they would stay at number 3. So with all that said, I think that's the silver lining of having a season like this, is that I believe I did this math correctly. They've only picked in the top 5 of the first round twice in their entire existence. And that's a credit to their winning consistency. I do think, D-Mace, even though they've had some eras that run alongside of the Titans, mm-hmm. I think if you take away the first 5 or 6 years, which was the expansion era, mm-hmm. they've been a consistent playoff team. It's easier to make the playoffs in hockey than it is in football. But I think the Titans have picked in the top 5 a lot more than the Predators.
When I say that, I mean like head coach management, not necessarily the seasons. Even though some of their seasons, it seemed like they sort of, you know, if the Titans are doing bad, the Predators are doing bad. Now, like you said, the Predators have been
more consistent.
Yeah, the
last few years, I think, have been eerily similar.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And you know, I'm just looking at the last couple of years. It just seems like to me that's how I run. But more importantly, it's head coach, GM, coaching staff, stuff like that, that it seems like, you know, they are making changes almost simultaneously. And a fan base is sort of looking at these teams alike, in a sense of the GM head coach who goes first in both scenarios, because both teams have, you know, they're not looking good right now. So if they have another bad season, which one of these coaches? Because I guarantee you, come next season, Callahan and Coach Bruno will be at the top of the list of guys on the hot seat.
Yeah, I think
in their respective sports.
I think you're absolutely right. If they were to bring Andrew Brunette back, and I don't think that's a certainty,
mm-hmm.
I do think he would be among, you know, odds makers do that, right? Who's on the hot seat? Who's the odds of the first guy that's going to go down? They do it. You have no control over that. That's just, they put it out there, whether you like it or not. And I would be sure that Andrew Brunette would be in the top 5. In that category if they brought him back. And so Adam's point is well taken, that it might be a tough sell to bring him back. But that being said, you've put all this groundwork and all this work into adjusting the system to the players that you have, and you would have to maybe start from scratch if you brought in a new coach. Now, maybe that new coach is what you need. Maybe they need a fresh group of perspectives with this particular group of players. But one thing that you should not lose sight of, the difference between the Predators and the Titans, because they've drafted so poorly and there's no farm system, their roster is a ways away from having the talent to compete. Whereas in hockey, this is what Barry Trotz has been banking on from the start. Yes, they have an older group of players, and they were going for it. Make no secret about it. D-Mace is dead on right. They were going for it this year. But they are doing it in a unique way where they did not mortgage any future assets to do it. So what Barry Trotz keeps harping on is he's got to give them – he's got to have the younger players deliver with all of this work they've done to acquire draft picks, develop them in the minor leagues. And the frustrating thing is they really haven't seen the fruits of it yet, right? I mean, you're watching players and you're waiting. Somebody pop. Like last night, Columbus. Anybody who's a Columbus fan is watching their high first-round picks that they've accumulated, and even some non-first-round picks. They're hitting, and it's exciting. They can score. They're not a great team right now, but they're fun because they've got some talent. It's now a matter of taking it to the next level, and they need more veterans probably. But Nashville desperately needs, for Barry Trotz's plan to work, for some of these young guys to take big steps forward, and it hasn't happened yet.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are, of course, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How can the Predators sell bringing back Andrew Brunette? If you were Barry Trotz and you were making this decision and you decided to bring back Andrew Brunette, is there a way that you feel the Predators can justifiably sell to the fan base bringing back the coach after this disaster of a season? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, when we talked to Elliot Freeman last week, a really good conversation with Elliot Freeman about this subject, he brought up something that I've been thinking about over the past couple of days as it relates to the Predators, and we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, if you want to win tickets to a Predators game, then be listening to Robbie and Rextro tomorrow morning for Preds Pick to Click. All you have to do is guess a Preds goal scorer, and if they put the puck in the back of the net, you win. Be listening tomorrow for the cue to call on Robbie and Rextro. This week's Nashville's best deal comes from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, downtown's largest axe throwing venue and your go-to spot for food, fun, and vibes. Enjoy panoramic views of the city, a killer soundtrack, craft cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. This week, score half off a $50 gift card. While supplies last, head to thegamenashville.com/deals and grab yours now. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Nashville Predators, by the way. Jordan in Nashville texted in and said that I need to go through conduct training again after my nickname for Willie Donick. Again, I'm just saying, Willie Donick is currently in Dallas, Texas. People refer to Dallas, Texas as Big D. Willie's last name starts with a D. I think it's perfectly acceptable.
Well, if you say so.
Not really.
Nah. But
Willie is eerily silent on this topic.
Very much so.
I don't feel the surge of energy behind that nickname. I don't think it's going to stick.
We'll keep workshopping it.
Talk to your people.
Oh wait, I'll have a meeting after the show with my people. Pierre LeBrun wrote at The Athletic last week. He was writing about coaches in general, not just about Andrew Brunette, but he wrote about Andrew Brunette at the end of this column on The Athletic. And he wrote, quote, "Brunette has two years left after this season, plus an option year. My understanding of the situation with the Nashville Predators is that if GM Barry Trotz had wanted to make a change, it would have already happened. He believes in Brunette and thinks the adversity this season will serve him well. The expectation is that Brunette will be back behind the bench next season." And we talked about that last Friday with Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet. And Elliot brought up something that caught my ear. Remember, Barry Trotz, during his weekly conversations with Jared Stillman, it was right before the trade deadline, right after the team came back from the Four Nations faceoff break. So this is late February, early March. And Barry Trotz said that before the season resumed, he met with the leaders of the team, the top players on the team, and said, frankly, "Are you in? If you are, great. If not, I will look to move you." And all of those players stuck around, so it certainly seems like all of those players said, "We want in." But Elliot mentioned, if I recall correctly, Elliot mentioned that the exit meetings for the Nashville Predators are going to be crucial to this decision. So although those top players, and we can all assume who those top players were, if those top players were in late February, who's to say that they'll still be in a couple of weeks? How many meaningless regular season games has Philip Forsberg played in his NHL career? Not very many. When was the last time Steven Stamkos played meaningless regular season games? It's been a while. So although those top players were apparently in before the trade deadline, that doesn't mean that they're not, that they're still in or will still be in a couple of weeks now that the season is over in the playoffs.
When you say in, do you mean in with the coach or in with staying in Nashville? I thought it was more of a discussion of, do you want to be here long term?
You're right. I guess let me rephrase. I do imagine, however, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Willie, that the coach is a part of that decision, right? If Philip Forsberg,
I don't think that would be part of the discussion at the trade deadline. I think that the trade deadline would be, do you want to be in Nashville?
But it will be part of the discussion at the end of the season.
Yes, I think that's the distinction, but yes. I think we need to make that distinction.
That is fair.
Because that's a different conversation.
That is fair. So, but my point largely remains that the exit meetings, what these players say as they are departing for the summer, could change Barry Trotz's mind. If he has indeed landed on bringing back Andrew Burnett next season, maybe he hears things in those exit meetings that make him think differently. You are right that I should add that context, but I think my larger point ultimately remains.
Well, let's go again with what Barry has said. Not my opinion, but after the trade deadline, you know, he had a press conference where he certainly talked as if Andrew Burnett was going to be the coach going forward. And then Jared, I believe, a week or two later asked him to clarify that, and he said, you know, it's still being evaluated. He didn't mean to say that it's clear cut. And so that's where I am on it right now. I don't think it's clear cut either way with the coach. I would say this. You were talking about, Adam, you're not in the locker room every day. My observation, based on what Barry has said, getting feedback from the coaches, listening to Andrew Burnett, that those two are still communicating. Yesterday's interview between Barry Trotz and Jared referenced a lot of conversations that Barry Trotz is having with Andrew Burnett right now. Does that mean he's back next year? No, I don't believe it does. But it means they're still communicating. They're still talking about the future. They're not not speaking, right? There are times, like you said, Adam, there are times you can sense it where it's not going well. They're not on the same page, and something's got to give. It happened in Philadelphia just last week. They were not on the same page after the trade deadline. And it came to a head, and they didn't even wait till the end of the season. So I don't think that's the case here. But I think Elliot's point, the one you mentioned, after the season, when it's all over, and you get feedback from the veterans, that's maybe when you can get a sense, get information that helps you make a tough decision. As Hal Gill always says, when you lose and you have the most disappointing season in your franchise's history, people get fired. People get traded. Changes happen. You don't stand pat. So there will be changes. It's just a matter of what the changes are.
Hair Metal Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, other than the factor, meaning Ryan O'Reilly, I wish the top players were in on the defensive side of things. I have never seen a group of top six forwards so disinterested in playing in the defensive zone. Your thoughts?
Well, if you're talking about last night, maybe you're right. But I don't think that that's always the case. I think their attention to detail on defense as a team has not been good. I think it's gotten better. One thing that Barry Trotz talked about, this is a weird stat. They've had a stretch of games here where they've done a good job of suppressing shots. They haven't given up a lot of shots on goal. Last night would not be in that category. But they've given up 21 or less shots, I think 11 times this year, and they've only won two of the games. It's a really weird stat. It plays havoc with your goalie's save percentage, which is why you can't just look at save percentage when you're evaluating the goalie. You have to look at the quality of the shots they're giving up. So they have worked on that tirelessly because they were way underwater early trying to figure out their defensive system. And I think that's also at the core of what Barry Trotz is talking through with Andrew Burnett. What is the right way to play Andrew Burnett's system? And I think the Andrew Burnett system of go, 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 my defense is having the puck on the other end. If we don't have the puck, let's get it back. this particular group, and part, I think Barry Trotz realizes he's partially responsible for the hand that he deals his coach, who wants to play that way. This group is probably not cut out to play that way. And so you're trying to find the adjustment. The coach has, it's, you know, then it falls on the coach to adjust all of this to have the right system for the players that you have. So that's where it's gotten into a mess. And complicating everything, the last thing they thought they would have when they started the season was a team that couldn't score. And this is a team that cannot score. It is unbelievable, and it weighs on everything, including your defensive game, right? When you're not scoring, it affects the way you play defense. You're down. You don't have confidence. You lose. You start cheating for offense. You're not locking down and believing that you're going to score. We just need to get some stops. We'll eventually score a goal. I think it's, man, we can't score. We got to get out there. We got to score. And they try too hard sometimes. It has become a perfect storm of everything that can go wrong has gone wrong.
Absolutely. I do not dispute that. My larger point, which I made in the previous segment, was, and this is not meant to be, you know, disparaging of Predators fans, because it absolutely is not. Willie and I, and there are others as well, Willie and I, we like to dig into the numbers. We like to get into the weeds on the process and all of the fancy stats we like to throw out, right? And if you dig into that, there are certain signs that this team has made progress over the course of the season, even if the record and the goals don't reflect that. Generally speaking, however, I think a lot of fans just see, as Derek was talking about earlier, the fact that the Predators were the first team in NHL history, I kid you not, the Predators were the first team in NHL history to acquire two 40-goal scorers in the same offseason, Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. And I don't mean like in their career, the previous season. The Predators were the first team in NHL history to do that. And this is the offensive product that the Predators have put on the ice. And that is why fans don't understand why the Predators could bring back Andrew Burnett. He is supposed to be a brilliant offensive mind. I think generally he is a brilliant offensive mind. He's a good coach. He is not the right coach for this team. I said this in November, and I stand by it now. So I just think that the Predators, as I said before, are going to have to make a Herculean effort to sell to their fans who will watch their team miss the playoffs for the second time in three seasons, that bringing back this coach is a good idea. And I don't know how they're going to do it. If they decide to do it, I'm incredibly fascinated. We will take your reaction. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Vault of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, DVD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe stepping in for a second with Willie Donick, who is in Dallas. Hello, Willie.
Hello, Chase.
It's picture day here at 102.5 The Game. So
how do the guys look?
They look good. They look good. They color coordinated. I know there was a lot of discussion about that, and so they look good. So we'll get yours when you return from the road trip. But I know you guys have been discussing the Nashville Predators and their struggles. I don't know how to put it anymore. It just get us through these seven games, and let's start looking ahead to next year. That's how I feel.
Yeah, it's been a bad year. There's no way around it. You're hoping that the silver lining is you get a high draft pick. And Barry Trotz has used the term thread the needle. The thing that gives you hope, they have not mortgaged the future to try to have this season where they went for it. Every Jumbotron, by the way, Chase, where I go, and last night was the first time we've been in Columbus, the Jumbotron greeting to the fans, a little preview of the game that everybody does their own version of, always starts with this. Tonight's opponent, the Nashville Predators, they spent big in free agency, and it hasn't worked out. So that is the Predators in two sentences. Every single broadcast when they introduce the opposing team has a theme. Like, what's the theme of the Blue Jackets? We know. Young team. They had a tragic situation that's beyond words with Johnny Gaudreau, and they've been a great story to be in this position. They are one of the best stories in the league. So every team has a little thumbnail, quick sketch of the story of their year to this point, and we know exactly what the Predators' one is. There's no doubt about it. The question is, where does it go from here?
I'll say this, and look, I know that, you know, some of it is, well, what do you expect them to say or what have you, but Philip Forsberg was on our show this morning, and, you know, we kind of closed it out of you know, appreciating him for doing this, and obviously know that it hadn't been, you know, the best year, and he goes, I want everybody to know that we're committed to fixing this, and you have to go through, you know, the darkness to enjoy the sunny days, and, you know, we're willing to do that. And just the way he said it, I was just like, I really appreciate that, because he's somebody that's going to be here a while. I mean, he's one of these contracts that we've talked about, and I think we all agree that, you know, Philip has not had the best year. Obviously, he was close to 50 goals last year. He's knocking on 30 for this year, so the fall off was there. But he's willing to, you know, to look at this and go, all right, we got to change some stuff. And so I don't know if it makes the fans feel better to hear him say that. It does me, because he could very easily go through the motions of an interview and it's like, all right, let's just get through it. And he doesn't do that. And there's a lot of guys on this team that don't do that. So I do feel that they're committed to fixing this. It's just, what is it going to take to fix it?
I admire Phil for saying that, because it has been a challenge for Philip. There's no doubt about it. And I think he would tell you it's not his best year, and there's so much on him. That's what has to be put in context, is if he's not doing it, unfortunately, he hasn't gotten a lot of help. There's been very little secondary scoring. So, you know, when you're on a team that's not scoring well, it always comes back to him. Hey, why isn't Forsberg scoring more? He had 48 last year, so I'm sure that weighs on him a lot. And he could probably give you a lot of excuses and reasons. But like he should, he's got to put some of it on himself. And he's got to dig in and say he's got to be part of the solution. You know, any team who's doing well, you always look at how are the top players doing, right? We had this discussion over and over with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. They were among the highest paid players on the team. And they were not anywhere close to the value of the percentage of the salary cap they were making, and so they made changes there. And so look at the year that Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg had last year. They both had outstanding years, and the team had a really good year as a result. This year, not nearly the same. And so, you know, I hope that they stay with it, and Forsberg in particular. Here's another thing that's gone on with Forsberg, right? He's gone from having a really good tight circle of friends a few years ago with Victor Arvidsson, Matthias Ekholm, Kalle Yarncroke. Those guys were tight, right? They're still, to this day, great friends. I think he had a good relationship with Gus Nyquist. He gets traded, right? So right now there's not a lot of Swedish mafia. They used to joke and say, hey, we're the Swedish mafia. You know, they're driving around together. They're all young players. Phillip's at a different stage of his life now. And so I think that's something that he's dealing with too, as they get through the slog here. And all of these things, when you're winning, you don't worry about it as much, but when you're not winning, you're looking around, maybe that stuff weighs on you a little bit. Just a theory of mine. I've not talked to Philip about that, but I like that he's got that mindset that, hey, we just got to get through this storm and hopefully they'll be stronger for it.
Willie, in your mind, when they start the season next year, does either one or both of a Joakim Kimmel or Reed Schaefer need to be on this roster?
I'm not sure. I think either one of those guys will be on the roster to start next year. I still think those guys are a little ways away, realistically. Kemmel probably a little closer than Schaefer. Schaefer's been injured a lot. He got off to a great start this year, I think, made a jump. But the young part of the equation is essential. We're going to get a look at Matthew Wood. I heard Barry Trotz tell Jared yesterday Matthew Wood's going to join the team here in Dallas. So I think he will arrive and sort of get a feel. I would not – and he stopped short of saying he'll be in the lineup tomorrow, even though you're looking at going, boy, they need a 12th forward. They only have 11 forwards. But I don't think they want to put him into a really tough situation for his first game. So I think they want him to get acclimated, practice with the team for a few days, be around it a little bit more before they put him in. But Matthew Wood is now the next guy that they've signed on this in this large pool of prospects that was rated in the top 10 for The Athletic. But what is that equated to as far as wins for the Predators? Not a lot right now. So whether it's Kemmel or it's Wood or it's Schaefer or it's guys you're watching right now, Svechkov, David Edstrom, who's playing over in Europe, Tanner Molendijk, they've got to get those guys into the lineup and succeeding for the Predators long term. But when is that going to happen, Chase? That's the question. I don't know if it's going to be at the beginning of next year. That's probably a little unrealistic to expect that.
So along those lines, I'll play devil's advocate a little bit. And, you know, I certainly give Barry Trotz the benefit of the doubt. He has earned that right. But I do wonder sometimes, and I hear what you're saying on Kemmel, you know, and Schaefer. They are young. I think they're both 20 years old. So obviously they have a lot of growing to do. But I do wonder sometimes, do they let them cook a little too long in the minors? And how many times have you seen a guy that, you know, might be discouraged playing in the American League and not getting a shot in the NHL, and then he does and he flourishes? Because that's just, you know, sometimes that just happens. And being around, you know, top-tier players in the NHL, I mean, and at the same time, you mentioned Svechkov. He got called up out of necessity because they needed him, and he's had to grow into it. So I certainly see both sides to it. But at what point does Barry Trotz kind of decide, hey, you know what, I'm just going to let these guys kind of grow at the NHL level, even though that might go against what he has done in the past?
It's a tough balance. And I think of Barry Trotz, when you throw that out there, as a guy who coached for a long time and understands how tough it is sometimes to be patient with young players who don't know how to win yet. So you can roll those guys out there. Let's take the last night's opponent, Columbus. The last few years, they've rolled out some guys, and they took their lumps. They got smoked, and they still are not a good defensive team at all. But they're playing through it, and now they're starting to at least have a chance to win. Now, you could argue that last team that gets into the playoffs for the East for a second straight year isn't a very good team. They're in the playoffs, but they're a flawed team for sure. Any of them, pick it, whether it's Montreal, whether it's the Rangers, whether it's the Blue Jackets, or whoever you want to name. That's not a great team. Somebody's got to get into that eighth spot. But are those teams on the rise? Well, that's what Columbus hopes for with these young players. But I think that's the dilemma. You're watching it right now with Svechkov. He's being asked to do a little bit more than he's probably capable of right now at his age. And so I'm hoping he ends up, like you said, getting stronger quicker because of it, going through the failures and coming out the other side tougher. What's better, doing that or developing in Milwaukee? That's the debate. But in the meantime, while he's out there struggling, it might be good for him, but it's hard to win when he's in that spot. So if you have too many of those guys, you get beat. Well, look at the Ducks, look at the Sabres, look at the Senators, look at the Blue Jackets. There's five or six teams that have, you know, thrown a lot of these guys out there as young players. Chicago going through it right now. San Jose, they've got some exciting high first round picks, and they're getting smoked night in and night out, and they're a ways from winning. But that's the way they've chosen to do it.
Yeah, no, it's all fair. And I mean, there's going to be a lot of time for this discussion, and obviously seeing what they do in the off season, as they have seven games left in the regular season. Is it seven or six? Seven.
I've lost track.
I've lost track too, seven. But it's close. I know that much. Willie, your cohorts are ready.
Near.
They are ready to rejoin the show, so I will turn it back over to them. I know you have Jonathan Hutton coming up here in just a few minutes, so I have enjoyed talking some Preds with you.
Good stuff, Chase.
Absolutely. I'm Chase McCabe. DVD resumes coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.